I run a fair and clean business, and I will fight to my last breath to prove that.
These are dangerous times, and we have to adapt. It's not like when we was driving.
There were more murders and rapes in this city last year than there have ever been. So if you've come to tell me that we have an urgent security issue here, trust me, I'm aware.
This can't continue.
You're at war here.
It's been 2 years since you started investigating my industry. Do you have any idea who's been doing this to us?
Or you may be doing something to bring this on yourself.
I have always taken the path that is most right. The result is never in question for me. Just what path do you take to get there?
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Being a 007 Movie Reviews with a 10-minute spoiler-free podcast covering A Most Violent Year, which is a new 1981 New York set thriller starring Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac. The movie has been written and directed by a chap called J.C. Chander, who made this amazing film called Margin Call about the collapse of Lehman Brothers. It's very overshadowed by movies like Wall Street 2 and The Wolf of Wall Street, but to my mind, as someone who works in the world of greedy capitalism, it's by far the best portrayal of what that world is really like. He then made this amazing film called All Is Lost, which had Robert Redford pitting himself against nature in a yacht, and that was basically it for the whole movie. It was just unbelievably raw and tense movie about, you know, what real character is when it comes down to it. So I went into A Most Violent Year with great expectations, not least because I really love Jessica Chastain. But I have to say, this is a movie that pretty much for the first half of it I thought was exceptional, like really could be up there with things like The Godfather. And then somehow it just went over the top, jumped the shark and fell into pastiche with all these twists and turns that were just so easy to see coming and kind of still didn't really make much sense. So a great disappointment. But anyway, let me talk you through how the movie unfolds. So it opens in 1981 New York, the wrong side of the tracks, the wrong side of the river. In that town, do you remember before Rudy Giuliani sort of had his whole tough love policy? It was poor, it was bankrupt, there was a harsh winter and graffiti everywhere and crime, and it literally was a most violent year. It was the most violent year on record in New York history. And the air is thick with corruption. It kind of feels, with all its kind of snowy ice and despair, a bit like watching an episode of The Wire season 2 that's on the docks. That's what the mood really reminded me of. Just everything from the police to the unions to the district attorney, just mired in corruption. And then, against all this, you have this guy, Abel Morales, who has dragged himself up from being a heating oil truck driver to owning a company that sells heating oil. And he's obviously made an awful lot of money and has done incredibly well for himself. So when we see him, he's dressed in these beautiful 1980s clothes. And he's about to conclude a deal with the guy who played Hesh in The Sopranos, actually, which I found a little bit distracting. But he's about to pay, like, basically all his life savings as a deposit on an oil terminal that's just going to, you know, catapult his business into the next level. But he has to close the deal within 30 days. And because we all watch movies, we know that when someone has to close a deal in 30 days, and it's a thriller, something's going to go horribly wrong. And what goes horribly wrong for Abel is that some unidentified rival of his is hijacking his vans for the oil. And the problem is that his drivers are union drivers, and the union and the drivers themselves want to arm themselves so they have some kind of protection against these guys, because, you know, they're getting beaten up and absolutely terrified. And Abel does not want that to happen, because he knows that if it gets into a gunfight, the police will get involved, the banks will, you know, sniff around, and suddenly that bank loan that he needs to complete his deal is not going to happen. So it really feels, as the first hour of this movie kind of unwinds, that it's Abel against the world, that everyone's corrupt, everyone's violent, everyone just wants to take it to the next level, and he's the only guy who's preaching calm and fairness and a kind of rational business sense about what is right. Now, as we get into the second half of the movie, you see events really overtake him. He's pushed to the very edge. There's this amazing chase scene, which is straight out of French Connection, where he's running down these guys who've hijacked one of his trucks to just try. I mean, he's just desperate to find out who's doing this. And it's just an exercise in seeing how far you can push a man who either is a good man or thinks he's a good man. I mean, how far does Abel believe all that self-help fairness stuff that he spiels out to his employees? Has he drunk the Kool-Aid? Does he believe this truly? Is it just a shtick? Is it just a front? And as we see him put under stress, that's the psychological thriller part of it for me anyway. And it's anchored in this amazing performance by Oscar Isaac. And I'm just astounded actually that Jessica Chastain's been nominated for this film, because to me this is all about Oscar Isaac. He is astounding in this film. The other thing to say about this film is I mentioned the French Connection thing, but it has been shot beautifully. The cinematography is by a chap called Bradford Young, who also photographed Selma. And what I find really amazing about this is that he captures this, like I said, this austere sort of wintry beauty that you have in The Wire season 2. But he also in some ways imitates, I found, Gordon Willis in The Godfather. Especially Godfather Part 2, where everything gets very dark. You know, you can barely see Michael Corleone's face in some of those scenes. And yet from outside you see the sunlight and you see this guy who's seeking deeper and deeper into the darkness and being cut off from the light. And then there's also a couple of absolutely classic scenes of sort of parlays around a restaurant table, which is straight out of The Godfather. The problem is I think when you're hearing me reference French Connection and The Godfather and all these great movies, you're kind of scratching on the surface of what's wrong with this film. And that's that this is a film so deeply enmeshed and in love with cinema history and aspiring to be one of those iconic great films. And for the first half of it, it really succeeds, but then at some point it just tips into pastiche. And I think really the problem here, or one of the biggest problems, is Jessica Chastain. And it's not just about her performance, although I do think that is very big. I think it's just how she looks, because she basically is aping Michelle Pfeiffer in Scarface. It's just such a cliched pastiche, over-the-top, early 80s nouveau riche label-wearing look. And I think that, you know, we had this in American Hustle last year already, for laughs, right? So it just seems bizarre to have it in this film. It just doesn't fit at all, I feel. And it just takes it too far. And I think that's also echoed a little bit in the writing, I'm afraid to say. You know, some of the plot twists are very easy to spot because the portrayal of characters and their motivations early on is so broad, and that's particularly true of a scene on a roadside with Jessica Chastain, I'll say no more, but it's written so big, it's just unbelievable. And so I think that by the time you get to the end of this film, unfortunately, it's just become almost laughable. And in fact, the screening I was in, people were laughing at it because it was just so the plot reveals, and then the character, and this isn't the most important thing, the character response to those plot reveals was just so turning on a sixpence. It was just like, what, such and such person who's been trying to do X the whole time is now going to do this? And oh my word. So yeah, I just really did not buy into it, which is a tremendous shame, because this film had the capacity to be a truly iconic film. And like I said, you should probably still go see it, because some of that photography, Oscar Isaac, just the willingness to delve deep into all that grit and grime is laudable, but just fails at the final furlong, which is a great, great shame. But anyway, A Most Violent Year has been garnering great critical reviews and awards. So if you disagree with my take, please feel free to leave a comment on the blog at beena007.com and the usual release info and details after the outro music.
I understand you and your men have a job to do here, but we're in the middle of a 10-year-old's birthday party.
And I'm sorry, but we are coming in.
That's not a problem. We have nothing to hide from you.
My husband is a good man. Don't mistake his honesty for weakness. He deserves respect.
This was very disrespectful.
A Most Violent Year has a running time of 125 minutes and is rated R in the USA. It was released last year in France and the US, and goes on release in the UK and Ireland tomorrow. It opens in Canada on January the 30th, in Portugal and Singapore on February the 5th, in the Netherlands on February 12th, in Argentina on February the 20th, in Brazil and Greece on February the 26th, in Poland on February the 27th, in Germany on March 19th, and in Sweden on April 10th. Thank you for listening.